Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Snowbiz Now Entertainment Network, connecting the circuitry of humanity. To be alerted of new episodes moments before we go on the air, be sure to follow at The Nicholas Snow on Twitter. To receive promotional videos about upcoming broadcasts and to be invited to special hangouts, follow us on Google Plus. The snowstorm begins now. It's time for Nicholas Snow Live. Yes, over 6 feet of snow has just hit your podcast experience. And here he is, having just drifted into the studio, Nicholas Snow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. This is live on January 27th, 2015 at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, but most people listen to this show after the fact. And my audience is worldwide, so even if you're listening to it live, for example, it's 14 hours ahead of us in Thailand, where I used to live. At any rate, the title of this episode is Forged in Heartbreak, Narcissist the Movie. And I've given it that title because I have a little inside information that Narcissist the Movie is based on experiences that producer, writer, director Eric Casaccio had in his own life. His personal experiences are the root of what has become the multi-award-winning film Narcissist. Gay Celluloid writes, Casaccio, and to his credit, has gone out of his way to shine the spotlight on one man's journey to deal with the emotional fallout following his painful relationship with a man with narcissistic personality disorder. Narcissist is the story of a kind of soul, Evan, who attracts a dark knight, Rob, into his life. It's almost as it's meant to be until Rob goes from a charming man to a manipulative individual who suddenly pulls the carpet out from under Evan, smashing his heart into a million pieces. Evan's post-traumatic stress disorder ends up taking him to a place of truth while Rob spirals into his own midlife crisis. How much of this riveting film is true to life? I'm going to find out in the interview.
Spotlight on Palm Springs.
Come to Lulu, the award-winning California bistro. Fabulous breakfast, a luscious three-course Sunday brunch, scrumptious dinners serving fresh fish, perfect steaks, pizzas, salads, and more. Something for everyone. A three-course special to savor from $15.99. The best all-day and night happy hour. There's always a party at Lulu in the heart of downtown Palm Springs on South Palm Canyon and Arenas.
New designer furnishings, sparkling cocktail rings, vintage jeans and shirts for moms, teens, boys, and flirts. Area rugs and stylish bedding design your wedding. Shiny knickknacks and glam Hollywood throwbacks. You'll find it here at Revivals. Voted best of the Valley thrift stores. Now with even more new treasures, plus one-of-a-kind consignment and estate items. Fashion, accessories, furniture, it's all in store at Revivals. Find it here. Visit us at RevivalStores.com to find a Revivals store near you.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Snow. Many of you know that I am HIV positive. I'm living powerfully with HIV because I benefit from the services of the Desert AIDS Project in Palm Springs, California. And I'm very happy to bring you this news from another grateful client of Desert AIDS Project.
I'm more proactive with my health now, I think, than I was before. And I think that's because there's other people that are being proactive with me. You know, there's people that are interested and concerned about it.
A lot of services that are very difficult to access to HIV-infected patients are gathered within one roof. We do have access to substance abuse counselor, mental health services, psychiatrists. We have dental service programs. We have nutritional programs, housing, case management. Very unique in the nation that all the programs, including medical services, are administered within one facility.
Coming here, I felt just an amazing amount of love from Desert AIDS Project. They are people who just care in the community, people who want to put a hand out and say, let me hold yours. And I think that makes all the difference in the world.
For more information, visit desertaidsproject.org.
This is the Snowbiz Now Entertainment Network, connecting the circuitry of humanity.
I'm Nicholas Snow, and I'm living powerfully with HIV. I write about this in my memoir, Life Positive, A Journey to the Center of My Heart. The book is dedicated to the tens of millions of people in the world living with HIV, most of whom do not yet know their status, to everyone who fights for us, and to those who still fear us. From Hollywood to Bangkok to Bali and beyond, including Kuala Lumpur and Palm Springs, with profound expansion to Singapore, Mumbai, and throughout all of Asia, Life Positive, A Journey to the Center of My Heart, could easily be titled Eat, Pray, Disclose. Life Positive, A Journey to the Center of My Heart, is available in paperback and for Kindle at Amazon.com and in paperback at LifePositiveBook.com. Remember, fight for the life and the world of your dreams until you have no life left in this world, for then you will have truly lived. I want to especially thank my advertisers. Of course, you hear their commercials during the program, but for their contact information and links to their websites, and for information about how to advertise your business, simply visit NicholasSnowLive.com and look for the advertisers link in the main submenu.
Compelling, intriguing, a mover and shaker, cutting edge, ahead of their time, a groundbreaker, in the news, worthy of the spotlight, amazing, informative, creative, and maybe even controversial. It's time for The Interview on Nicholas Snow Live.
This particular episode is, I've called it Forged in Heartbreak, Narcissist the Movie. Producer, writer, director Eric Casaccio says the root of what became the multi-award-winning film Narcissist is a short-lived romantic connection between two men which ended painfully. Gay Celluloid writes, Casaccio, and to his credit, has gone out of his way to shine the spotlight on one man's journey to deal with the emotional fallout following his painful relationship with a man with narcissistic personality disorder. Narcissist is the story of a kind soul, Evan, who attracts a dark knight, Rob, into his life. It's almost as it's meant to be until Rob goes from a charming man to a manipulative individual who suddenly pulls the carpet out from under Evan, smashing his heart into a million pieces. Evan's post-traumatic stress disorder ends up taking him to a place of truth while Rob spirals into his own midlife crisis. How much of this riveting film is true to life? Well, we're going to find out when I interview the producer, writer, director, Eric Casaccio. Welcome to the show, Eric.
Hey, thank you for having me on. It's great to hear your voice.
I have seen Narcissist twice, once at the Palm Springs International Festival of Short Films last summer, the summer of 2014, and earlier today, to simply refresh my memory. And the film, before we delve into the meat and potatoes of the film, I just want to congratulate you on the significant awards the film is racking up. In addition, it's gotten some overall Best Films in the Festival awards as a short film, going head-to-head with features. Is that true?
We won the, yes, we won the Best Overall Short Film at Q Cinema Fort Worth's Gay and Lesbian Film Festival, but we've also won Best LGBT Film, Overall LGBT Film at the Real Heart International Film Festival and the Toronto Independent Film Festival, and we won the Audience Choice Award for Short Film at the Boston Gay and Lesbian Film Festival. And then we hit third place for Best Romantic Short at the Indie Gathering, which is in the Midwest in Ohio, and at the Scene Film Music and Art Festival in Providence, Rhode Island, we received the honorable mention for LGBT film. And I believe there's one more award there that I can't think of. The New York City Downtown Shorts Film Festival, we received an honorable mention for their LGBT category as well.
I think it's quite humorous that the film got a a romantic film award, because romantic is not at all a word I would use to describe the film.
Well, romantic drama. So I left out the word drama, which is, I guess, the key element in a film like this. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Romantic drama. That's the key word.
So, how did you? One of the things I like to explore when I talk to people is what inspired you to identify and follow your dreams in life? Was it your family? Was it some sort of life-changing event? Was it a combination of things?
When it comes to making films?
Period. Well, you clearly filmmaking is one of your passions, but this isn't generic to filmmaking. You're clearly someone that has come to honor what you want to do, and you've gone out and done it in a variety of ways, from your philanthropy to your the educational choices you've made to the films that you've made. So it's really a kind of a broad question. What was it that allows you to identify and give yourself permission to kind of go for the life that you want?
Well, it's really, really interesting because, you know, I start in the entertainment world. I started out as an actor, and I went to school for theater for that. And then, you know, I moved to Los Angeles with my union card, and I just thought to myself, I did some acting for a while, and I had some success at it. And then I kind of took a couple of steps back, and I started to write. And but prior to that, when I first moved to Los Angeles back in 1997, I was in the closet. So I was in my mid-20s. I think I was 24, and you know, so I was dealing with that whole self-acceptance period of my life, which was a very interesting time. And during the healing of accepting myself as an out and proud individual, I wrote a feature screenplay called David's Walls, which is about my coming out experience. And that was a very healing thing to do, because coming out it's hard for everyone. It's different for everyone, but yet it's the same for everyone. And it's through pain is where a lot of my art has come from, a lot of the stories that I've told over the years. And so, you know, I was doing some acting on and off. I was in the movie Walk a Mile in My Prada with Tom Arnold, and I did a bunch of different things. But I really love telling a story that has a message that resonates with others and inspires others and helps others. And I feel like when I did Freak, my other project that I did before Narcissist, that screened for 2.5 years, it actually went to the same film festival that you were at. You know, that movie just spoke to so many people. It won 17 awards. It hit critical acclaim, and it was for me the whole joy of being an artist is when something that I create screens, and then having an audience member come up afterwards and have this amazing conversation of, thank you for making this film. I know what it's like to have to go through something like this, and I can totally relate to this person, and seeing this has really helped me see certain things. And both my films, Freak and Narcissist, have done that. And as an artist, that's huge. And I've said this before, I mean, especially with Narcissist, I mean, I have had so many amazing things happen on this project, and conversations with people that have gone through being in a relationship or romantic situation, whether it be a short-lived relationship or a major marriage, see this project and have these conversations that are just so heartfelt and beautiful and cathartic, not just for them, but also for myself. And I've said, you know, I could win an Academy Award as a filmmaker, and I don't think that anything will ever come close to the journey of Narcissist and the people that I've connected with and the way this project has gotten people talking about narcissistic personality disorder and narcissistic abuse. That is the hugest thing that I've gotten from this whole situation.
If you were to name a percentage, what percentage of Narcissist the movie is closely based on your own life experience?
Wow, that's a good question. That's a really good question. I would say, I mean, it's based on something I went through years and years ago, based on a short-lived romantic situation that I was in. I would say a good percentage of it, but a lot of it is fictionalized to make the story.
Well, I understand that. So, are you avoiding the question?
No. I don't. I can't really put it into a number. That's really.
Let me ask it a different way.
Okay.
Let me ask the question a different way. The person that you were in the short-lived romantic situation with, if he were to see the film, or maybe he has, how much of it would he recognize?
The thing is, I think, based on anybody that's a narcissist or has narcissistic personality disorder, if there was ever something, a song written about them or a poem or a film or a screenplay or anything artistic, and I'm not avoiding the question by answering this way, there's going to be one of two things. I think, one, they're going to get off on it, which only proves the title of the film towards the individual, or they're going to say, oh, that's not me. I think it's a cross between one or the other. That's just in my opinion. I don't think if this person, I have no idea if the individual that inspired me to tell this story has seen this project or even knows about it for that matter. But you know, if this person did, I mean, I really don't know what he would think. In terms of that, but I had someone that has seen the movie that went through a very, very similar experience with this individual and thinks it's pretty much spot on.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
That's fascinating. Now,
yeah.
the other thing though that I understand is that you've had. People react strongly to you regardless of their sexual orientation. I mean, you've had a lot of heterosexuals relate just as strongly to the story that you tell.
Oh, yes. Well, the thing is, when I had my personal situation years and years ago, I couldn't comprehend what it was that I experienced. I didn't understand it until a friend of mine said to me, Eric, you were abused by somebody that has narcissistic personality disorder. And my initial reaction to that was, oh, you know, that's a little harsh, because to me the word narcissist is so strong. And I always thought of a narcissist as, you know, anybody that just talks about themselves too much, or an actor that's just so self-absorbed in their career, or any artist in Los Angeles for that matter. That's always what a narcissist sort of symbolized to me, or someone that goes to the gym and has a flawless body and all that. But it goes from a psychological standpoint, narcissistic personality disorder is a lot deeper. There's far more to it. And it wasn't until my friend forced me to research narcissistic personality disorder and narcissistic sociopaths that I really discovered this entire community of people online that have all had been victims of that kind of abuse. And I connected in forums with people. As I was healing myself, the two people that I went to primarily, who I highly recommend, are Kalia LaRoche and Melanie Tonya Evans. They are both narcissistic abuse recovery experts. Their websites are MelanieTonyaEvans.com, and also for Kaylee LaRoche, her website is NarcissismFree.com. When I found those two extraordinary individuals, I literally got a full-fledged education on what it was that I was dealing with, and I was able to heal and move forward. But what I found fascinating in the forums and on the internet is that a lot of the subjects that were covered were more discussed in a heterosexual term. And one of the many things that inspired me to want to tell this story is to show that narcissistic abuse happens between a same-sex couple as well as a heterosexual couple. And if you watch the movie, other than the fact that the story is told between two guys, you could tell pretty much the same story between a man and a woman. It would pretty much be the same exact thing. Do you know what I mean? And I just thought it was so important. You know, the movie has screened in LGBT film festivals and mainstream. It's been on both sides of the fence, as well as my other movie, Freak. And I wanted it to be that open. And I'm very excited and honored and amazed that I could tell a story in a same-sex couple and have it be a broad, you know, a worldwide topic, and that's the logistic of the whole story, is that people are looking at this movie and they're, you know, it's between two guys, but even though it's between two guys, it just happens to be between two men versus being like a wall-to-wall gay movie, which I love those films too, but that isn't really where my specialty is as an artist. I'm more about the subject. And if it happens to be between two men or a drag queen and another man or whatever, it just happens to be that. And that's not the primary focus of the story, which in my opinion, I like seeing stories told more like that, because I think that if you tell it at that angle, it's going to go wider. It's going to reach a wider audience, and it's going to educate a wider range of an audience versus a more limited one.
What is narcissistic abuse?
Narcissistic abuse, in my opinion, this is how it's described. When a narcissist comes into a victim's life, the victim is usually in a very vulnerable state. And the narcissist is very, very charming. They tell the victim everything they've ever really wanted to hear. They make the victim feel beyond special, like they are the most amazing and beautiful person in the world. And the victim feels like they have found the love of their life, and they're lifted up to this cloud, and they're so amazing, and they're so wonderful, and they're so great, and there's nobody like you, and oh, you're the love of my life, and we're going to get married, and all this stuff. So while the victim's up on this cloud feeling this amazing, beautiful place, I kind of describe it as the minute the narcissist realizes that they have control by telling this person all these things and making them feel a certain way is when the abuse starts. And the narcissist basically takes the victim, in my imaginary mind, I'm going to say, puts the victim in a blender. And at first, the victim probably thinks they're on a fun carnival ride, but then the self-projection mind games begin. The self-projection coming from the narcissist goes on to the victim. And by the time you go through this situation with a narcissist, you feel that a victim feels like everything is their fault. And then once the narcissist knows that the victim is in that box, then the victim is devalued and discarded and left with this empty, horrible shell of a feeling to deal with. And they feel like everything is their fault, that they're worthless, they don't deserve to be loved. And then the narcissist may or may not pretty much had another relationship already in line that they were already going to, or other sources of supply that they had out there that they're going to go to next. So the victim feels like they weren't good enough because the narcissist jumps from relationship to relationship to relationship because they're not really capable of being alone because they need another source of supply to kind of feed off of live on, you know, basically live their soul off on. And so the abuse, I kind of describe it as a psychological rape and an emotional rape, if that makes sense.
I understand it. I want to read a paragraph from your director's statement. But before I do, tell my listeners what a director's statement is.
In my opinion, a director's statement is a statement of purpose, of where the story has come from, why it's being told. And my own personal way of doing one, it's how am I hopefully going to inspire an audience?
Okay, well, with that said, this is the paragraph I want to read, which kind of builds upon what you just shared about narcissistic abuse. After it all ended, the vulnerable one felt like a vampire sucked the life out of him. He couldn't comprehend the pain over something so short-lived until a very wise and dear friend said to research narcissistic personality disorder and sociopaths. At first, that seemed a bit harsh and ridiculous. Ridiculous until the vulnerable one spent weeks studying the symptoms of a narcissistic sociopath and was flabbergasted by some key terminologies that best describe them. Charming, lack of empathy, manipulative, cunning, pathological lying, secretive, paranoid, self-projecting, needing to be adored, worshipped, controlling, always needs to be right, does not perceive there is anything wrong with them, no conscience, scapegoat, incapable of accepting responsibility for anything they do, and lack of remorse, shame, or guilt. And then a light went on in the vulnerable one's mind, a light that answered all the questions of what was dealt with all along, and an enormous realization that a huge bullet was dodged.
Yep, absolutely. And that's in a nutshell, that's what narcissistic abuse is from someone with that personality trait.
You know what comes to mind? I've spent a lot of time in 12-step programs. I don't name which ones on the air because we're anonymous at the level of media. But I don't mind saying that I get a lot out of them. And I know a lot about a lot of different programs. So when I think of these dynamics in a relationship, I think, for example, of the alcoholic and the people that are in relationship with the alcoholic. So you have AA for alcoholics, and you have Al-Anon for people that are trying to stay healthy in the context of their relationships with alcoholics. And another program that comes up and topic is the whole issue of codependency, you know, that someone bases their own self-worth through the eyes of someone else who is often extremely unhealthy. And did you run across any of these similarities in your research, or has anyone come along and say, well, gosh, this is like being in a relationship with an alcoholic?
Yes, absolutely. A lot of narcissists are known to have chemical dependency in their life, one form of another. But this is what I tell everyone. I think this is really, really, really important, especially for anybody that's been a victim of narcissistic abuse, is you could sit there as a victim of narcissistic abuse and go over everything a narcissist said, did, when they lifted you up to that cloud and made you feel like you were worth. You could go over that, all that stuff that I mentioned earlier. You could go over that and 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 try to figure it out until you drive yourself crazy or until you're dead even. But ultimately, what it really is about, it's about a wound that the victim had no idea that was probably within their soul that they needed to go within and heal. Because ultimately, that is what attracted the victim to the narcissist, is a wound that they had to heal and have to work on and heal to move forward and within their lives. You know, a lot of empaths, a lot of sensitives and empaths and a lot of really sensitive artists have been with narcissists. And You know, narcissists tend to go after people that they know that they can control, at least for that certain period of time. And what normally ends up happening is the victim of narcissistic abuse, when they start to realize something isn't right, this isn't right, and they start questioning the narcissist, or, you know, try like basically kind of show them, like, this is how you're behaving. Can't you see that? And the narcissist will turn around and be like, no, it's you, and this is why I'm behaving this way. And they'll go right into your weaknesses, and they'll make you feel like everything is your fault, when it's really their toxic behavior, the lies, the manipulation, the self-projection, cheating, the secrets, the paranoia, everything that they have is put onto the victim, and you're taking responsibility for something that you didn't really do wrong. But the thing is, the victim has to understand that they allowed it to happen. And that's the hardest part, is having to go within, heal your wound, and forgive yourself for allowing that to happen. That's ultimately what it really is. And even in this, in the case of, you have to forgive the narcissist, at least from within, because you're going to hold on to this plethora of pain that you don't need, that's only holding you back from the beautiful things that you can have in your life. Because the narcissist, they're going to go from the next victim to the next victim to the next victim until they find that one person that they know that they can control, that's not going to talk back to them, it's going to put up with all their stuff. And when they do find that one person, they will marry that person. And, you know, that person gets to be the banquet of abuse. but it's just, you know, that's just basically how it is. And, you know, I had to go within and work on a wound that I really didn't even know was there. And I had to look at the reasons, why was I attracted to this person, and why did I think this person was the ultimate answer to the love of my life and all that stuff, when none of it was real. And that's the real hard part, is to accept that everything that person said and did wasn't real. They never really cared. They cared about what they were getting from you, not about you at all. Because they're unconscious. They're unconscious, and they don't even realize, understand, or even comprehend or know that their behavior is toxic and abusive and horrible, because they don't think there's anything wrong with them, and that's the problem. And for the victim, it almost feels like calculated behavior. You know what I mean?
I'm not going to give it away, but my opinion, I mean, I won't give away the details, but my opinion is that at the very ending, the very end of your film, we see that the narcissist is in a deep amount of pain.
Oh, yeah, they are. They're in deep amount of pain. I'm not going to give away the ending of the film either, but what I love about the ending of the film, and I really gave that ending, I gave the whole film as much 140,000% of thought, but in that last moment of the film, it shows how a narcissist behaves when they're alone. Because the difference between the two characters, if you notice, between Evan and Rob, is that Evan's a writer, and he can sit at home alone in peace, writing and being totally content with himself. Rob can't do that. Rob will sit and have to reach for his phone to check his messages. He has to reach for a glass of wine. He has to reach for pictures. Rob has to reach for the external. The narcissist has to reach for the external, because the narcissist is all about the external. That's why a lot of narcissists have to present themselves a certain way, have to look a certain way, have to have a certain car. They have to have all these certain things to validate their existence, whereas a victim of narcissistic abuse, now no one's perfect, but can be content with just sitting at home, working on a script, or just being alone. And that's the difference between, you see in the movie, you see Evan's world and you see Rob's world, and how they both are in their separate worlds and how they are when they're together.
Well, it's interesting. You know, you're a filmmaker, and we spent the bulk of this show talking about the topic of your movie rather than the art of filmmaking. Which I personally love, and clearly you know a lot about the topic, and it's an important topic that I think needs to be shared, and that's a great outcome of your film. But getting into the filmmaking, I was personally, I'm extremely impressed at how this story is crafted. There are so many different ways you could have approached the subject matter, and the way that you tell it is just so fascinating to me. And we've talked a little bit about how audiences have responded to your film, but I'd love to know sort of how the film programmers have responded to your film. When I say film programmers, for people that don't know what that is, it's the person or people receiving a film to consider whether or not to put it in their film festival. So are there any comments or remarks that have come to you from programmers that that stand out?
We were in the Out Twin Cities Film Festival in Minneapolis in June of last year, and that was, you know, we premiered in Boston in April of 2014, and we've been screening nonstop ever since. And but the one that's standing out to me is Minneapolis, because during the Q&A, the festival programmer was in charge of the Q&A, and he just had these, you know, one of the questions he asked me was, you know, without me, well, maybe he read the press kit, but, you know, he's like, does this project come from personal experience? Because he's like, he said to me, it's so real. He's like, I really felt the emotion from both characters. And I went into, you know, the where the story came from and how it was born. I went into that, you know, with the audience. And there's actually a Q&A. That Q&A is actually captured. Lawrence Ferreira, who's a filmmaker, was on the film festival circuit with me. We were programmed together. Luckily, he captured a couple of Q&A's that I did, and he was so nice enough to edit a video together. If you go to narcissistthemovie.com/media.html, you can see the all these Q&A's and how these questions were answered. But the realism and the reality of the story is what a lot of programmers commented about with the film, and a lot of them were saying, you know, one of them, I can't remember which film festival it was, and it wasn't an LGBT film festival, but the programmer was very like, you know, I have gone through this, and when I saw this movie, I totally could relate to Evan, because I've been Evan, I've been in that situation, and, this topic of narcissistic personality disorder, it's just starting to be talked about now. Probably about a year ago, it started to really be talked about now, and it needs to be talked about further. It is a major problem. It happens. It's such a hard thing to pinpoint, and once it's pinpointed, some people take it seriously and some people don't. And it needs to be taken more seriously. It is a major problem. And it's, you know, there was a radio show that I listened to years ago that Kalia LaRoche does. And there was this woman on there, and she was physically raped by someone, and she was talking about her narcissist. She had a partner that physically raped her, and then she had a partner that was a narcissist. And she said having the situation with the narcissist was far worse than being physically raped. And that's how painful emotionally, that's how it feels. That's what you're left with. It's that painful and it's that horrible. But the good news is, for anybody that's listening to this, it's gone through narcissistic abuse, from someone that went through a short-lived thing and it was really, really painful and I thought that I'd never get over it, not only am I beyond over that situation, but like I went from a survivor to a thriver. I took everything that I learned, I took all that pain and I used it for something positive. And the outcome has been this project, and the outcome is leading to other things in my life that I never even imagined could even be possible. And just like you were saying, you know, I listened to the opening of your show, Nicholas, which I think is absolutely beautiful, on how you relate to yourself and how you've taken parts of your life that may at first felt negative and you turned it into something beautiful. And that's what you have to do when it comes to things that go wrong in your life, whether it be narcissistic abuse or whatever.
Well, thank you for that. I'm curious how many people watch your movie and realize they're the narcissist? And how many have been willing to say that to you privately or even in a Q&A?
I have never had anybody tell me that they're a narcissist. No, that's not true. I had someone, a friend of mine was dating somebody at the time, and they came to a private screening that I had in L.A. about a long time ago about this, and he said, I have behaved that way before, and he saw a lot of his behavior in his past and now and all that kind of stuff. So, but I get more of the victims of narcissistic abuse that know what it's like to go through something like that. And the irony is Brione Davis plays Rob. He plays the narcissist. And now Brione is a really, really good friend of mine. I've known Brione for a long time, and you met him in Palm Springs. He was there, and Hunter Lee Hughes was there as well. And, you know, Brione is so opposite of Rob. He is the complete flip side opposite of what that character is. He is so full of love. He's got so much life in his eyes. He's loving and caring, and you know, he's all these beautiful things, and he's nothing like that character. But he's such a great actor. He's so talented. He has worked. He's done so much in his career. He's been in a plethora of movies. He's worked with several different directors. He's directed himself. He puts his best foot forward. Is a pleasure to work with, and just does it and knows how to develop a character and gives it 140,000%. When he was researching, you know, the first thing we did when I gave him the part in the film, we sat down and we had coffee and I told him where the story came from. And then over time, you know, I like to give actors a little bit, and then I like them to develop their own thing, and then I'll go in and tweak whatever needs to be tweaked. But, you know, Brione, I sent him a bunch of articles about narcissistic personality disorder and the personalities of a narcissist and all these things, and he read everything and did his research, and he nails the character. He nails it. And it's just funny because I know him so well. And to see him in this role, you know, to see someone that has so much life in their eyes make their eyes so empty, and that's something about a narcissist that a lot of people that I realized later is a lot of narcissists have like empty eyes. They have an empty soul in their eyes, and they may be charming and energetic when you first meet them, but when you really look into their eyes, there's really not a lot going on. And that's something that I thought he captured beautifully on camera. Whatever it is that he did to his eyes, he just nailed it. That simplicity, he got all of it.
Well, you're right. He's very sweet in person, and he's, you know, and he does nail the character. The official website for the film is narcissistthemovie.com. People can also find you on Facebook at facebook.com/Eric Casaccio Film. I'm going to spell your last name because people won't know how. It's facebook.com/Eric Casaccio, C-A-S-A-C-C-I-O. That's Eric, C-A-S-A-C-C-I-O Film. Clearly, the life cycle of a film, it goes to film festivals. One would hope that it gets some sort of distribution. People can always follow the timeline of this film at narcissistthemovie.com. But as we discussed this on January 27, 2015, what do you know for sure is next for your film?
What was that?
As we're discussing the movie right now, today on January 27th, 2015, you do know that there's other things happening for sure about the film. What would you like to share?
Well, we have a screening coming up on Sunday, February 15th at 7 o'clock p.m. at the New Jersey Film Festival, which will be held at Rutgers University. That's our next screening. And we're also booked for the other Venice Film Festival in Venice, California in October. We don't have our date yet. In 2014, we did over 30 festivals, and we are just sort of waiting for other film festivals to make their final decisions for 2015. So we're gonna keep screening this year, and if you go to narcissistthemovie.com/screenings, all our screening announcements will be there, as well as our Facebook page and Twitter and all that kind of stuff, and as well as my public Facebook page as well. But so we're definitely gonna keep screening in 2015, and maybe into 2016, and then I'm gonna figure out where the final home of this film will be. Freak got distribution with IndieFlix. And it's been doing really well on IndieFlix. That's a worldwide distribution that you can watch on Xbox and Roku. So I'm going to try to go for something like that with Narcissist. But for right now, I'm staying in the moment with the project, and I'm just letting it play as on many screens as it's going to be on and continue to be on.
I really appreciate you taking the time to be on the show, and I was wondering, would you like to add anything that I may not have asked or that we may not have addressed so far?
I just want to say that, you know, anybody that's listening that's been a victim of narcissistic abuse, is my whole quote of this project is, sometimes you have to go through darkness to find a true, authentic light. And to also know that there are plenty of places to go where people like you have gone through, are going through that exact thing, where you can go and heal and connect with other people that are going through the same exact thing, and to really get involved with that kind of a forum, because unless you're involved with people that are going through it and know what it's like to go through something like that, a lot of people may not be able to relate to what you're going through. And it's really, really important that you connect with people, and the way you do that is through the internet.
Do you have any of your next film planned, or do you know what's next for you in addition to what you just described about the future of Narcissist, the movie?
A lot of things have transpired from this project, a lot of great things. On an artistic level, I have a feature film called Twin Flames that the script is finalized, and it already won an award. It won an award at the Action on Film International Film Festival for Best Alternative Social Feature. That was the runner-up award, and it's up for another award at the North Virginia International Film Festival that'll be coming up in April. So I have that script written, and I'm going to start workshopping that script in the next couple of months. I'm just sort of enjoying the journey of Narcissist. But I'm kind of adding something else into my career from this situation, and I'm not really ready to talk about it yet, but something has transpired from all the research that I've done about narcissistic abuse that I am actually going to be going back to school for, that I will be using in my future that I can't talk about yet. So,
all right.
Yes.
Well, when you're ready to talk about it, you have to break the news right here.
Fantastic. What else do you want to know?
Well, what else do I want to know? I'll come up with. I'll save those questions for the next show.
Okay.
But I really appreciate you taking the time to be on my show, and I encourage my audience to check out NarcissistTheMovie.com, and I congratulate you on. And I expect, you know, bigger and better things from you. And you inspire me to keep focused on my own dreams as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And, again, thank you for having me on the show. It's been a pleasure speaking to you like this. And it's been a blast. And I really appreciate you taking the time to have me. So.
Well, it's my pleasure. And I will talk to you hopefully real soon.
You have been listening to Nicholas Snow Live. Produced and copyrighted by Nicholas Snow Productions, LLC. To be alerted of new episodes moments before we go on the air, be sure to follow @TheNicholasSnow on Twitter. To receive promotional videos about upcoming broadcasts and to be invited to special hangouts, follow us on Google+. Link prominently at NicholasSnowLive.com, where you'll also find the archive of all of our episodes. That's NicholasSnowLive.com. Thank you for being a part of the snowstorm. We're honored by your presence.